Hey everybody, this is Darcy from Oregon.
Hey everybody, this is Kimber from Memphis.
So we're talking haunted hospitals today, and Kimber had tons of homework to prep for this episode.
Oh my God, I've spent so much time on this. So, y'all better be asking me what hospital is in your state because I have a list of all 50 states and three different countries where we have listeners with the haunted hospitals that are there. Did you hear that? Salem is angry with me that I'm not playing with him and not allowing him to bite my papers.
That makes sense.
So I have a list. There's, I think, six states.
Yes. Hello. Hello, Kimber.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just got scratched in the boob and my phone went blank and I'm an angry woman right now. Okay. I'm sorry. There are like six states where I could not find any haunted hospitals. They have a lot of haunted things in those states, but I couldn't find specifically a hospital. A lot of them have forts that they probably had a hospital in the fort, but I didn't count those. So definitely reach out on our Facebook page, leave us a voicemail on the Anchor app, and we will get back to you and tell you what hospital is closest to you in your state.
Which would be a fun around Halloween activity, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. We have one here, but it's in, there's one in Pittsburgh, and that's pretty far away, unfortunately.
Pittsburgh.
Tennessee.
Oh.
The haunted, we have the haunted prison, which is in Nashville, and that is somewhere where I have been wanting to go, but, it looks really creepy.
So, I think most haunted hospitals look really creepy. But the originals, is it the originals? The vampire show, it focused, there was a whole story plot line about this hospital where everybody was dying of consumption. And those were the creepiest episodes. I couldn't, like, barely watch them. They were terrifying me for some reason.
I've always had a fear, as I said before, of old medical equipment and sanitariums because I know what they did to people back before everything was regulated. I know that they performed experiments on them, and it has just always freaked me out because in those hospitals, what better place for a haunting? So much misery happened in those places.
Yeah. And I just realized that there's a haunted hospitals television show on Travel Channel.
I found that out too while I was doing some research, and I'm very sad that I don't have the Travel Channel.
Oh, I'll have to check on like Netflix or Amazon to
Yeah.
see.
I was thinking Prime, maybe.
Yeah. I'll
I
check
watched a
while
few.
we're talking.
Oh, okay. I checked a few videos on YouTube too. There's some videos on YouTube of people walking through haunted hospitals. Some of them are pretty boring. They don't really find anything, but it's funny. Well, I guess it's not funny, but a lot of these hospitals were built for tuberculosis. A lot of these hospitals that are haunted were TB hospitals.
I wonder what was the treatment for TB? You just die?
So. You just died. They didn't have a cure back in the day. They would just do whatever they could to make you comfortable. And that was, you know, you just died. You died of the consumption.
Well, okay, so it looks like Haunted Hospitals is on Amazon, but I can't quite tell if it's on Prime or if you have to pay $1.99 an episode.
Oh, I'll have to check it out when we get off, because I would be interested in watching that, because I've always wanted to go to Waverly Hills, which is in Louisville, Kentucky.
Isn't it funny that they name these medical facilities to try to make them sound good? You know, like, I just recently spent a lot of time in the local hospital and the nursing home in my area. And the first time I went into the nursing home, it was like the, I felt like I was, I hate to say it, but they creeped me out in there. I mean, because they looked like they were zombies. All just sitting around, and it was really disturbing for me. I just couldn't feel comfortable there.
Nursing homes are very uncomfortable. I grew up in nursing homes. My mom worked in a nursing home when I was a kid, little. My aunt worked in a nursing home. My other aunt was a nurse in a nursing home for, oh God, 100 years. I worked in nursing homes as in the kitchen, never with the patients, but of course you saw the patients.
Yeah.
And my cousin worked in a nursing home for a short time. And our family is pretty much based in the diaper industry. It's either the young ones that haven't been potty trained yet, or the really old ones who can't hold it anymore.
Yeah, that horrible cycle of life.
Yeah. So the majority of my family, their careers have been diaper related.
It's interesting that you didn't actually, and this is totally going off topic, but that you didn't go to become a nurse. You know, like,
well, I was going to be a doctor.
Oh,
actually, I was going to be a doctor. I started out, I was going to be a doctor that specialized with pediatric diabetes. And then I decided, no, I'm going to be a psychiatrist, and I'm going to be a psychiatrist who specializes in serial killers. And then I realized when I was a junior in high school, because I took all of my classes, I was going for pre-med when I was in high school. We didn't have a pre-med program, but I was on a pre-med track. So I took all of my classes. I took so many high credit classes in my first 2 years. I only had to have a half of a year my junior year, and then my senior year, I had all my credits, but I had to take, there was a mandatory class I had to take. So basically half of my junior year and my senior year, I skated. I did nothing. That's the choir classes. And then I would go to work. And then I decided it was so, because we didn't have money for, you know, for college. So I was going to have to work and go to college. And I was working every day that I didn't have to go to work. Well, before I was 16, every day I would have to come home. I couldn't go to a friend's house after school. I would have to come home and I'd have to work in the daycare. When I got a job at 16, if I wasn't at my job, I had to go home and work in the daycare. When I was 18, I decided that I am no longer doing this. I'm moving out because I'm not going to do all this work.
Yeah.
I want to be able to have some fun. So, I decided my senior year in high school that I was not going to be in the medical field. I wasn't going to be a doctor. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. Anybody that's, you know, when you have somebody that's in the hospital, a loved one that's in the hospital or in a nursing home, you very quickly tell the people that are really compassionate and the people that are not.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you're grateful for the really compassionate ones that are treating your loved ones because, wow, the ones that are not so much, it's horrible.
Well, and, you know, you have to be a really special type of person to work in a nursing home because they're mean. My dad, when he was in the nursing home, was so mean. And he was confused because of the chemo. He was older, so the chemo and the pain meds totally, he was fine before he went in. But all of the medicines and his age combined, he got dementia. And so he wasn't always there. And when he wasn't there, he was mean and confused. And when he was there, he was heartbroken because he knew that he wasn't always there. So he was mean. And we would all be mean in that circumstance.
Yeah.
But he would throw stuff at the CNAs and everything. And you got to be a special kind of person.
Yeah. So back to our haunted hospitals. So where are you taking us on your journey of haunted hospitals?
Well, as I said, I've always wanted to go to Waverly Hills in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. So we'll start there. Waverly Hills was built in 1910 as a tuberculosis hospital, and they performed illicit medical experiments on their captive audiences. People, there's a rumor that say that there was almost 60,000 deaths at Waverly Hills, but in truth, it's almost 8,000. They don't know for sure, but it's closer to 8 than 60. From the 1960s to the, Waverly Hills closed in 1961 as a TB hospital. In 1962, they reopened as a geriatric hospital. And in that geriatric hospital, they would do electroshock therapy. And again, the illicit medical experiments. People say that there are slamming doors, footsteps, screams, shadowy forms will follow you, and there's a body chute that goes from the hospital to the morgue, and that is extremely haunted. There are children's laughter, faces, and shadow people. And in the morgue itself, it's very active. And not that long ago, maybe 20 years ago, I think, there was a man and a dog, a homeless man that was living in the hospital. And they say he committed suicide, but they're not sure if he committed suicide or if something pushed him down the elevator shaft. And people will see both the man and the dog. The owner is a woman. And she was in there one night and she saw a dog laying there. And she's like, how did you get in here? Come on. Come on, let's go. And it just disappeared in front of her eyes. On the insanity floor, which is the fifth floor, room 502 has had two suicides. One was a nurse who jumped out the window, but they think she may have been pushed. And suicide number two was another nurse who supposedly hung herself, But it is rumored that she was having an affair with a doctor, got pregnant, and the doctor tried to do an abortion and he botched it and she died. So they faked the suicide.
So they faked a suicide for somebody that died having an abortion?
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to wrap my head around that one. I was just like, this doesn't quite make sense.
Pregnant, had an abortion, died, and they didn't want to say that they killed her, so they faked the suicide. They hung her. And
Interesting.
the other one was, it's both in room 502. And the other one was jumped out a window, but they say she could have been pushed.
So if we think about, horrible things happen to somebody, so they stay and they haunt that room, I guess I don't understand the motivation. What I mean? Like, for them to haunt other people, isn't that terrible? But
They're angry.
I get that they're angry, but wouldn't you just get bored with it after a while?
Now I've seen on some shows, and of course it's fiction, so I don't know where they got this. I don't know if this is a thing that is common knowledge to people about ghosties, but the longer they're on the earth, the less human they are, and they don't care anymore. They just want to punish.
Interesting.
Yeah, the longer they stay, the worse they are. And they've also had people whisper, get out. And I'm going to tell you, somebody whispers, get out to me, bye.
Yeah.
I'm out.
What's interesting is sometimes, you go, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes I'll go into a place and it makes me very uncomfortable to be there. And I never know what it is or anything. I never really put a lot of thought into it, but I used to house sit when I was in college as a way to sort of make extra cash and, and I'd go to visit the home and meet the people, and I'd just be like, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be here.
I mean, we've discussed that I'm slightly psychic or psycho, however you want to look at it. And I get feelings. And when you and I went to Cheers, we sat at the bar and I was fine. But when my cousin Jessica turned 18, I flew her out to Connecticut because that's where I was living at the time. And we drove to New York one day, and then we drove to Boston another day, and we went to Cheers. She was only 18, so she couldn't sit at the bar. So they sat us in the restaurant, and this feeling of just utter nausea and uncomfortableness came over me where we were sitting. And I said, can we please move? And I had them move us. There was something in that part of the restaurant in the bar that just was icky.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal with it. So yes, I do get those feelings. I don't think I've ever had it at someone's house before, but I've had it about someone before.
Oh, like somebody, you think somebody, you get the ick feeling from them?
Yeah, like the serial killer vibe or the ick feeling.
Yeah, that's my I won't ride in an elevator with someone feeling.
Yeah, well, we know somebody else that said they wouldn't ride in an elevator with someone, and then she ended up marrying and procreating with him.
Oh,
So,
okay. Don't go there.
remember?
I remember.
Okay, so that is Waverly Hills. Any questions on Waverly Hills?
Where is Waverly Hills located? I guess I missed that.
Waverly? It's in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. And is it one of the, I was going to look while you were talking what the top five were that I saw some posts somewhere.
It is.
One of the top five.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I wonder if people go on haunted hospital tours, like, hey, honey, let's take a road trip and go visit haunted hospitals for our vacation or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Waverly Hills. Waverly Hills, you can go tour. You can tour Trans-Allegheny as well, which is in West Virginia.
Mm. Okay. And there's
also, I think Pennhurst you can too, but I'm not sure. So I actually work with a technician who grew up in Detroit. And there is a hospital in Detroit called the Eloise Complex. It is in Westland, Michigan. It was by Detroit. It's not in Detroit. But it's called the Eloise Complex. And it is extremely haunted. They have filmed a movie with Eliza Dushku in it. And it's actually called Eloise, which is on, I want to say it's on both Prime and Netflix. So you should check it out. It wasn't horrible. But when he was 17 years old, he and seven other people, four boys and four girls, broke in to the tunnels underneath Eloise. It was about 11 p.m. They brought some beer and some weed with them to, you know, kind of be in the hospital and hang out because they were underage and drank. And they were sitting around in a circle, and it was just extremely uncomfortable. When they walked through the tunnel to get to the actual hospital, he said that they went through an iron gate in the lunatic portion of the hospital, and there were weird noises, and the paint on the wall was like coming off, and it just really set the mood. The lights were flickering, and they kept hearing doors being slammed, pebbles. They heard noises like pebbles being thrown against a wall, and screaming. It was faint, but it was kind of screaming. And they kept hearing gurneys rolling, like the creaking and the squeaking. And as I was talking to him about it, and he was, you know, remembering more and more and more, and I was asking him questions about that, he said that one girl, and he said actually two girls, now that he thought of it, said that they got their hair pulled. Someone was tugging on their hair and whispering in their ear. And I said, well, were the girls that you were with all brunettes? Was there brunettes, redheads, whatever? And he said there were two blondes and two brunettes. And the brunettes are the ones who got their hair pulled. And there was a girl named Stacy, and she would feel something breathing on the back of her neck. And when she spoke is when they seemed to hear the gurneys. So something about her was drawing some power.
Interesting.
And he said it was just kind of creepy because there was still, you know, all the lighting, the hospital lighting. There was still equipment attached to the wall. There were gurneys still in the building. And they saw headlights. There was absolutely no way they could see headlights, but they saw lights that looked like headlights when they were in there. And when they were sitting in the circle, the candles would blow out. One would blow out over here and they'd relight it, and then one on the other side would blow out. And then they'd relight that, and then another one would blow out. And he said it was just incredibly creepy. There were paintings on the walls, and they were almost melted. And the portion of the painting that was melted was the face in the painting. Now, I said maybe that's because the face has more paint on it than the background, because there's more detail in a face. And he said that could be, and maybe that's why it melted there. But he said the effect made it look like rotting flesh.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And in the fall, you drive by on this one highway, and all the trees have lost their leaves, so you can see the whole building. And people say that they see women in gowns looking out the windows, and they actually have pictures of them. And I'm going to try to find a picture and post it, but it's just incredibly creepy. It's one of the most haunted hospitals.
So it's I found an article that has the top five, and it says that the Eloise Sanatorium or complex or whatever started out as a poorhouse, became a farm, and then
They were completely self-contained. They had a
yeah.
farm, a dairy. They even had their own railway station, their own fire station, and their own police station.
And their own power plant.
Oh, I did not know that one.
But what's horrible is that the cemetery just had numbers on the stones instead of names. So you lose your identity when you die there and get buried, you're just a number.
It's horrible.
That
No
is
wonder.
horrible.
I mean, no wonder people haunt it, right?
Yeah. So it says it went up for sale in 2015, but it hasn't found any willing buyers yet. But it has 76 buildings on the site on a 900-acre property.
It's huge. It's huge. Waverly Hills is privately owned.
Yeah.
And they do tours. They do ghost tours in Waverly Hills.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Don't know. I mean, I kind of want to do it, and I kind of don't.
I'd be
I
afraid
kind of
somebody would
do.
hitch a ride and come home with me.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read anything about that happening, but there's a first time for
There
everything, I
is.
guess.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
All right. So, actually, we should probably use this as a stopping place because I think it's time for a break. What you think?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
Hey, Lost Girls and Boys, this is Darcy.
Hey everybody, this is Kimber.
So we want to let you guys know what we're talking about in the next podcast. We're talking about Avril Lavigne and falling in love with the devil.
She has a song based on a relationship, an abusive relationship that she had with one of her exes, who she will not name, and that's who she wrote the song about.
But the video itself is just very visually stunning, and we're talking about all the changes she's had in her life, as well as the perpetuated rumor that she's not actually Avril Lavigne.
Well, if you look at her, she does look a little different.
So we'll talk about that and more on our next podcast.
Remember, Lost Girls and Boys, stay on sparkly, my friends.
Hey everyone, this is Darcy. In case you weren't aware, in addition to the podcast you're currently listening to, I also do two other podcasts, The Stories Women Tell and Safety, The Future is Female. In The Stories Women Tell, I interview women from all walks of life and talk about things that influence their choices, share advice, and find out what they're focused on in the future. In Safety, The Future is Female, my co-podcaster Carly and I are creating a network of safety professionals with a nod to the growing number of women in the safety field. We interview women with various safety backgrounds and get their take on the future of safety. I would love it if you would join my audiences for my additional podcasts. You can find these podcasts on Apple, Google, and Spotify, along with several other podcasting platforms. As always, stay on sparkly, my friends. Hey, Lost Girls and Lost Boys. I'm sitting here with Cooper, and I want to let you know you just heard an ad about the two various podcasts that I have going on. But I also wanted to put a call out. So, for any of you Lost Girls out there, or if you have friends as well, I'm looking for some people to interview for my Stories Women Tell podcast. So if you're interested, please reach out to me either through our Facebook group, The Lost Girls, or through a message through this podcast, and let me know, and I would be happy to talk with you. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, we're back. Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsors. So before we get into our next haunted hospital, don't ask where your hotel came from. Although I will tell you, in researching haunted hospitals, they really wanted me to check out haunted hotels too. So Darcy,
yeah.
What song are you going to put on your list?
So I actually just discovered this song today, and there's quite the little controversy on YouTube about it. But it's actually Post Malone, and it has Ozzy Osbourne and Travis Scott. And now my phone is playing and I can't make it stop. But it's Take What You Want. So I actually really like the song. I just listened because I'm like, what on earth could Post Malone and Ozzy Osbourne do together? And then I went on and listened to a Post Malone and Halsey song, and I like that one as well. But this one is Take What You Want. So for all your metal fans out there, this might give you something to listen to.
Awesome. Well, I'm putting on, because we're talking about ghosties, I'm putting on Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. Good old 80s song.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
All right, so what you drinking?
I actually have a Portland Hard Cider Company pineapple rosé.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And it's delish. It's an interesting flavor. It's not very pineapple-y, but it's actually pretty good.
I have some pineapple ale in my fridge that's amazingly delicious, but I can't drink it.
Why?
It hurts my guts too much.
Oh, yeah, because it's too the beer.
Too fizzy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just saying, it's here in my fridge.
I don't drink beer that often because it's too filling for me.
It's like a cider almost. Hmm. It's not really a beer. It's like a cider. It's like a pineapple cider. You'll have to try it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am not drinking this evening. I am sticking strictly to Coke Zero this evening. I am being boring.
Jeez, I wish my cough would go away. Sorry, everybody.
Hopefully it will go away soon.
Yeah. All right, so we're on to which hospital now?
We're on to another one that I want to go to, which is the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia.
Hold up. I think it's pretty safe to say you probably want to go to all these haunted hospitals.
There are some that I've heard about for so many years that I want to go. And some of them are new to me, so they're not on my list yet. I mean, they're literally on a list that I'm looking at right now, but they're not on my personal list yet. But Trans-Allegheny and Waverly Hills, I've heard so much about. So Trans-Allegheny was built in the mid-1900s.
Sorry, a child came home.
That's all right. And it was shut down in 1994. It was designed to hold 250 patients. They would each have their own separate room. And it was just a beautiful hospital. And in the 1950s, they had over 2,000 people in that hospital. And they were sleeping 5 to a room, 6 to a room. Some of them were sleeping on floors. They were cold because the heating system wasn't working correctly and they didn't have any blankets. They were dirty. It was originally opened to house epileptics, drug addicts, alcoholics, non-educable mental defectives.
That's a
And
horrible terminology.
I pulled that right off the web page. That is not my terminology, ladies and gentlemen.
Ugh.
And they were completely self-efficient, just like self-sufficient, I'm sorry, just like Eloise. They had a farm, a dairy, their own waterworks, and there is a cemetery on the grounds.
So I'm getting a feel for these facilities, like psychopaths open up these places, they're self-contained, keeps people, nosy people out, and they can kind of do whatever they want.
Well, at first, it was actually built according to what they call the Kirkbride setup plan. And Kirkbride was a person who believed that people who have mental issues need to be surrounded by a lot of natural light and a lot of nature. So there was a lot of light, a lot of nature. The rooms were beautifully decorated. There was a room for each of the patients. And it was a fabulous facility when it was first built. But then it was taken over in the 50s, and that's when the shitty people came in, because in the 50s, that's when they had, six people to a room. And they also It was the home of the West Virginia Lobotomy Project in the
Oh,
50s.
how great.
If the patients were what they determined uncontrollable, they would lock them in cages. And their farm and dairy could not keep up with the food needs for everyone there. So the patients were extremely malnourished. In the 60s, I think it was 1968, there was a film crew from a news station that went in and they did an expose on the horrible conditions of Trans-Allegheny. And it took 20 years for them to be closed down after that. 20 years of fighting in the courts.
So it's really interesting. All this discussion is kind of bringing up my great aunt. She was mentally handicapped, and she lived in a home or a facility for quite some time. And I remember when I was younger, my grandma worked really hard because she was in Massachusetts. Worked really hard to get her out of the home and bring her to come live with her. But I remember my grandmother telling me about the conditions how they treated the patients there and stuff. And so she was working actively to get her out. And she did. I mean, Sylvia had a long life with our family, and staying with my grandmother all that time. But she was born normal and fell and hit her head, I believe, when she was like 11 or so, and became mentally handicapped. But it was interesting because when she would get really angry at my grandmother, she would yell at her and talk about her life in the home. Like she was cognizant that she lived in the home for the period of time. So it was interesting. But I get this uncomfortable feeling when you're talking about these homes, because especially because in the 50s and 60s, that would have been the time that she was living there. And it's just like, oh, that is just horrible, right?
Yeah, my great aunt actually, my great aunt Yvonne, she was mentally handicapped as well. I don't know if she was born. I think she was born that way, but she lived with my grandparents, and she had really bad arthritis when I knew her. And we found out as kids found out that the reason that she had such bad arthritis was she was sent to school for a while. And when she went to school, she couldn't learn like the other kids. And the nuns would smack her knuckles with a ruler. And so she got really bad arthritis in her knuckles from that. And her parents pulled her out and they just kept her at home. And she had, when she was younger, she had a boy who was just in love with her, absolutely in love with her. And my great grandma and grandpa would not let them get married. So she was cognizant enough that she took care of her parents. She cleaned the house. She loved us, you know. She just was not quite all there. And she could have had a really probably maybe a good life. You know, I think if the guy was good to her, I think she could have had a good life. And I think my great grandma and grandpa did what they thought was best, but in the, you know, hindsight, it's 2020. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it would have been good for her to get married and have children. But that's not what happened. And
Interesting. All right. So we are, do we have time for one more haunted hospital? But then we're going to be really pushing up on the time of our podcast here.
I have one more, but and it's not too much. Or we could do a recap of all of the ones that we've talked about, or I could do another one. Oh no, this one's a good one. I'm going to talk about this one.
Okay.
I'll talk fast. So Penhurst Asylum is in Spring City, Pennsylvania, and this is another good one that's on my list. It was a state institution for the feeble-minded and epileptic. It was built in 1903 and it opened in 1908. It closed in 1987. People were classified in different ways. They were That sounded like a monster.
It's Cooper. Cooper and Coco.
That sounded like an absolute monster. I mean, it was one of the dogs, but it was like,
They start their rumbling if they think something's in our yard, so they're going to be little butts here for a minute.
At Penhurst, if you were a patient, you were classified as either an imbecile or insane, epileptic or healthy, and then they also put you in different dental categories: good, poor, or treated. Now, the best part about Penhurst was I was able to find what people hear. There is so much voice phenomena there. People hear, "Go away," "I'll kill you," "We're upset," "Why do you come here?" There's a male that says, "I'm scared," and a female that says, "Why won't you leave?"
Interesting.
There are shadows, doors and chairs move of their own volition. People have been shoved downstairs and left red marks on their back. They've been scratched and they have seen a ghost nurse walking around the facility.
How weird. That seems like, on the scale of activity, that seems like that's much more active than some of the other ones, like much more present.
I think it's very active, but I think Eloise is reputed to be very active as well. The other ones I didn't necessarily get a chance to write. There's so much information. I should have just picked like three and just looked at three to begin with, but it just sucks you in. Like you look up haunted hospitals. And it just takes you all over the place, and there's all kinds of things that, you know, it's a rabbit hole.
I mean, I can see, like, I do love to go explore places, like, especially because some of these hospitals, looking at them on the internet, they seem to have interesting architecture, so it would kind of draw me in, you know. But yeah, one little event of where I felt like I was getting some sort of interaction, I would be gone.
I would probably pee my pants. I'm not gonna lie. I probably would. But I am a huge, as a photographer, one of my favorite things to photograph is nature taking things back. And so I absolutely love old, dilapidated buildings. It's one of my, oh my God, I love it. It is one of my favorite things to photograph. And I could feel like I could just go nuts in some of these places. Just
Not literally.
maybe. I mean, if too many ghosts talk to me, I might lose my shit. You don't know.
Happened to Kim? Oh, she went crazy. She's now
We left
committed
her
to
at Waverly Hills.
She's in the asylum.
There's nobody else there except the ghosties, but we left her there. There's one movie that I saw, and I want to say there's three of them. That's a series of three. And I don't remember the name, so I'm going to have to look it up and find it, and I'll post it on the Facebook page. But it was a movie about these people going in and filming, like a ghost show in a haunted sanatorium. And the building would change. So a door that used to be there will not be there again. So, and they could not get out of the building. They kept trying and trying and trying to get out of the building. It was actually quite a good movie, but they could not escape because everything kept changing. Can't remember the name of it. I'll have to look it up.
Creepy.
I'll post it when I find it.
All right.
So, Darcy,
Yes.
when are you heading to Salem to go into the old Oregon Hospital?
I used to go to college down there, so I've driven past it, but I never had the desire to go. Too close to it. So,
Tara and Jessica just went to Colfax, Washington, and went to St. Ignatius, which is it's a hospital. It's the hospital listed on my Washington list, or on my list for Washington. And they just went up there.
Oh, cool. So they should post a pic. Post a pic or something.
Yeah, I think she posted, she made a comment on one of our posts that her and Jessica just went to St. Ignatius, but I'll have to tell her that she needs to post some pictures.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I like to, like there's the where there's like ruins and stuff, but also down on the Oregon coast, they have what are those gunneries or whatever, where they have the cement structures, where they were set up with guns and stuff to defend the coastline. So like those are always creepy too when you're going in there. You just feel this sense that it's just weird, Not that I'm saying anybody was dying in there or anything, because I don't really know.
Fort Stevens is haunted.
Oh, is it?
It is. People say they see a soldier walking back and forth,
Interesting.
watching the water. And I've been to Fort Stevens and I caught what could be dust or an orb one time. Many, many years ago, I was there with the husband and the kids. So it was many years ago. And they, of course, were running around and going into the different rooms and stuff. And like I said, it could have been dust because they were running around, or it could have been an orb.
Interesting. No, I'd be more interested in, I'm interested in architecture, but I'm also fascinated by like haunted ghost towns or whatever. That's what I always want to go see. But I've never actually found a haunted ghost town. But there used to be rumors that there was one in the hills behind where I grew up. But I never found it or never got to go see it.
We went before I moved here. Tara and Jessica and I went on a, it was probably like 2 or 3 days. We went on a ghost town tour. And we drove through the Dalles and we went to Shanico.
Oh yeah, I've been to Shanico.
Yeah, we went to quite a few places up through there. Actually, it was snowing in Shanico when we went there.
Yeah, so I think what I love about traveling is that when you just get up and you just drive and go check stuff out when you don't really have a, I like what you can discover, you know, because on the East Coast, the thing I love about the East Coast is, of course, there's so much historical stuff there. But I mean, heck, you enter into like a little town or something and, you know, there's some building or structure that's just so fascinating, you know. But you got to get off the beaten path, too.
Yes, yes. I love to do that as well. We used to drive up into the mountains quite a bit in the, Stevenson area.
Mm-hmm.
Found a lot of old equipment just left, like with, you know, plants growing on it. Somebody yeah. just left it up there. That always surprises me. This expensive piece of equipment and they just leave it there and never come back for it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lost Girls and Lost Boys, please reach out and ask me about the haunted hospital that I have found in your state, because I would love to share that information.
Yes, it would be interesting to see where people are from and like what haunted hospitals they have in their area, for sure.
Yes, and I was not able to. I know we have listeners in Ireland and India, and there was another country, and I can't remember.
Belgium, one of them too.
Belgium,
yeah.
Sweden was one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was unable to find haunted hospitals for any of them. I was able to find one in Australia, one in Germany, and one in Mexico.
So it doesn't surprise me in Australia because of the, yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
There was a couple that I actually found in Australia.
Yeah.
And in Germany, there's a Nazi hospital. That's haunted.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine any of the Holocaust sites or anything are just...
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
But the Nazi stuff, don't get me started. I watched those Nazi mega death war machine shows on the History Channel or whatever it is. And oh, those look awful. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up our haunted hospitals. And if you are in a state and you have a haunted hospital that you know of, please post it.
Yeah, we are curious. Or, some haunted building. And the next episode, we're talking about the changeling known as Avril Lavigne. I always want to say Alanis Morissette for whatever reason.
We were actually discussing her at work today and the changeling.
Right. So I don't. If any of you saw on Facebook, Carla posted and I posted the link to the video. But it's beautiful video from Avril Lavigne. And she fell in love with the devil, but of course the devil is, it was written about an abusive relationship she was in while she was recovering from having Lyme disease. So very interesting, but if you have not watched the video, just for the visual stunning, I mean, it is just a stunning video. So I highly recommend watching it.
It really is. And I'm not a fan of the song.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm not a fan, really. But the video is beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful video.
It is. Yes, indeedy. All right. My dogs are like, they need me to pay attention to them.
All right. I have two cats with their backs to me right now.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I have two dogs swarming at my legs.
All right. Until next time, Lost Girls and Lost Boys. And remember,
stand sparkly, my friends.
Maybe Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
Okay.
What do you think about that one?
That'd be fine.
Is it good or is it just fine, Darcy?
It's just fine.
Trying to think of a ghost song. What's another ghost song?
I don't know.
I don't either. There's Ghostbusters.
Do Somebody's Watching Me. That's fine.
All right, let's do that one. Is that what it's called?
Somebody's Watching Me. It's a single version
by Rockwell.
By Rockwell.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if that was the actual title.
Is it a remake of the Michael Jackson song?
No, Rockwell did the song, but Michael Jackson sang background on it for him.
Oh.
He sings the, I always feel that somebody's watching me.
Yep.
And the other guy's like, tell me, is it just a dream? Okay. All right. I'm ready if you're ready.
All right. You can start it.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. This is Darcy. In case you weren't aware, in addition to the podcast you're currently listening to, I also do two other podcasts, The Stories Women Tell and Safety, The Future is Female. In The Stories Women Tell, I interview women from all walks of life and talk about things that influence their choices, share advice, and find out what they're focused on in the future. In Safety, The Future is Female, my co-podcaster Carly and I are creating a network of safety professionals with a nod to the growing number of women in the safety field. We interview women with various safety backgrounds and get their take on the future of safety. I would love it if you would join my audiences for my additional podcasts. You can find these podcasts on Apple, Google, and Spotify, along with several other podcasting platforms. As always, stay unsparkly, my friends. Hey, Lost Girls and Boys, this is Darcy.
Hey, everybody, this is Kimber.
So we wanted to let you guys know what we're talking about in the next podcast. We're talking about Avril Lavigne and falling in love with the devil.
She has a song based on a relationship, an abusive relationship that she had with one of her exes, who she will not name, and that's who she wrote the song about.
But the video itself is just very visually stunning, and we're talking about all the changes she's had in her life, as well as the perpetuated rumor that she's not actually Avril Lavigne.
Well, if you look at her, she does look a little different.
So we'll talk about that and more on our next podcast.
Remember, Lost Girls and Boys, stay unsparkly, my friends.